The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. A big week of Premier League football with action on both Tuesday and Wednesday. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the telephone and in the studio, Mr. Derek McGovern and Lee Phelps. How are you, fellas?
Very well, Mark, yes.
Very good, thank you.
Hope all well there.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm glowing, basking in the glory of avoided nap.
I get your best result of the season, isn't it?
The way it was going, though, Derek, that is actually something. At least I gained £10 on you both from just not having anything. So that is good. I'm going to build from that basis. I feel like Nigel Pearson. I'm building on blocks. Right. When I get you around the scruff of the neck with a smile on my face, then you know it's
So were you sacked, and then now you're not sacked from the Naps?
Not quite. It was getting that way, though. I think
matter of time.
Yeah, only a matter of time. I wonder if I can withdraw from the Naps. I'm not doing that bad. Why are you making out I'm doing that bad?
What are the figures?
We don't talk about them on the midweek podcast.
All right. Okay.
I haven't done them, in other words. Derek's about £120 ahead of me, and probably about £60 ahead of DK. Might even be more than that now, to be honest.
We'll move on from that, because I can see Lee's getting visibly upset in the studio. So let's get stuck into the action. The first game we're going to look at is on Tuesday evening. It's the televised game. Start with Liverpool against Tottenham. Liverpool 17-20, the draw 12-5. Tottenham are 100-30. Liverpool are 7th, Spurs 5th. Only one defeat in the last 14 games for Liverpool. That was against Chelsea in the Capital One Cup, and they haven't lost at home since November. They also have Sturridge back. Whether he starts or not, we don't know, but obviously big news for them. Spurs only one defeat domestically in this calendar year, and a good result at the weekend as well, and Harry Kane catching people's eyes all over the place. But interesting statistics for the last few meetings between these sides. In the last four meetings, Liverpool have won 3-0, 4-0, 5-0 and 3-2.
I think it was 6-0 then. That would have been brilliant.
Yeah. Starting with you, Derek, what do you make of this? I mean, a few people have said to me Tottenham are a big prize, but Liverpool are in good form, aren't they?
Well, what's a Merseyside derby, and I don't know where Brendan Rodgers got his outstanding performance from, because it was anything but. It was probably Liverpool's worst performance for a while in that draw against Everton. Liverpool are odds on to beat a bang-in-form Tottenham team, the same Liverpool that have failed to win I've only won 5 of 12 games at Anfield this season, playing against teams a lot worse than Spurs. I just don't understand it. I think what Tottenham 7-2, something like that, 100-30. It has to be backed. It has to be backed. I mean, Kane has been sensational for them. It'll be interesting to see if Daniel Sturridge plays. You know, people there will be comparing the two. That's if Sturridge doesn't get injured once he gets on. I was actually reading, by the way. You know, when he joined, this is a guy whose injury has scarred his career. When he moved to Liverpool, when was it? The summer before last or the one before that? He'd only just recovered from meningitis, and he said he'd picked that up. Seriously, he'd picked that up when he was delivering medals at a London school, and that was memorable because John Terry turned up in his kit for it. I've got to say, Sturridge has surprised me at Anfield. He's been sensational, but you've got to question whether he'll be fit enough to do himself justice if he starts. And all things being equal, I wouldn't say, you know, if I had to pick a winner in this game, I wouldn't. I'd pick a draw, but at the odds, Tottenham have to be the best.
Okay, Tottenham, big price then. Did you agree with that, Lee?
Yeah, on the prices, it's hard to disagree, isn't it? The way they've been playing, the way that they did it against Arsenal. You know, they're having a great season, aren't they, really, Tottenham? You know, and I think it's nice to see that the fact that, you know, the manager has... It's taken a little bit of time, I think, to get his... his tactics across to his players. But one thing that, and maybe we should have picked up on it a little bit earlier, really, is that one thing that he got instilled very early, and you can look at it from the performances, is the fitness levels. Because, you know, the stats were all over Match of the Day the weekend. Don't need me to repeat them about the late goals, how many points they've picked up from scoring late goals, how many 2-1 wins they've had in this season alone. I think they've had 11 2-1 wins. They've been 11 games with 2-1 the scoreline, and they've won the majority of those 11 in their matches so far. So almost half of the games have finished 2-1, one way or the other, for Tottenham. So, you know, I think the manager's obviously, you know, getting there gradually. And the fifth, the 4 points ahead of Liverpool. And I think that it's just that man Kane, isn't it? I think while he's in the side and he's in such good form, you know, he scored, is it 10 in 9 he scored now in the Premier League? 8 of his 12 goals in the Premier League have come away from home. So when you look at the price for him to score any time in this match at 13-8, that just seems, you know, that seems daft at the minute, doesn't it? There's no reason why he should be that big a price just because he's on an away patch of grass. I suppose the only reason he should be that price is that Liverpool have now got 4 successive clean sheets in the Premier League, and that they have obviously become a much better team defensively. I think there's just been a... I don't mean because of the defence, I just mean the whole team has become better defensively. Hearing that there are doubts over Sterling, Coutinho and Lucas for this match, I think if any one of those three or more are missing, that could obviously damage their chances. I think more Sterling and Coutinho than Lucas, because they've got, you know, able replacements for him. I think I can see why Derek's going for the Spurs win, and I wouldn't put anyone off that, but I think I'll go for the draw. The draw on both teams to score is 16-5. And I know Liverpool have been keeping clean sheets, but you know, I think they'll do well to hold Kane down here. He's averaging 3 shots on goal per game, and he scored 12 goals this season from 14 starts. He's 6 substitute appearances, so you know, it doesn't take him much to score goals either. That Sturridge, I was going to come on to Sturridge. I think I remember reading a stat out at the start of the season, Derek, about his how injury prone he's been. His record for Liverpool's unbelievable when you consider that, you know, how many games he's missed. You know, if you look back to going back to 2008-2009, the website Transfermarkt is really good for anything like, you know, injuries and goals per season going back historically. This is how many games he's missed in each season since 2008-2009. He missed 11 that season. He missed 11 in 2012-13. 14 in that season. This following season, he missed 18. Then he's already missed 24 games this calendar year as well. I mean, it's a lot, isn't it, of games to be missing. You know, so many. If you count all those up, I mean, just to get a full season out of him is brilliant. And it is amazing that he's scored so many goals for Liverpool, given that, you know, that's how many games he's missed for them.
I know.
Sensational record, Derek. He does play, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, well, since he moved to Liverpool, at Chelsea...
38-55 he's got for Liverpool.
Oh, yeah. Just, at Chelsea, he was a bit par player. Liverpool, all his parted in bits. He's just... a fully fit Sturridge. I mean, he's probably, with Aguero, the deadliest striker in the Premier League, but it's just getting him there, isn't it? You know, he's injury prone, and that's, you don't want that in your team.
The you can have the on the scorers markets, you can obviously pair them up as well, the two players, if that's what you want. I mean, it wouldn't be a big surprise, would it, to see them both score. Daniel Sturridge and Harry Kane to score at any time, both of them 4-1. Wouldn't put anyone off that.
No,
not bad. But my main bet is going to be Kane to score at 13-8. Okay. I like it.
I've got an angle in here. I was hoping for a bigger price, but if you look at Liverpool's number of goals in the first half, it's pretty slim at the moment. In fact, they haven't scored in the first half in the last 4 games.
Right.
First half Liverpool goals, none, 17-20. The only problem is the price, really. It's a bit skinnier than I'd expect.
Yeah, even money you wanted there, didn't you, really? That would have been a lump on. But 17-20, not that far away.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? And the way they've been playing, they've been so controlling of other teams. I think they were a bit more expansive with Everton, but I can see Tottenham sitting back here and letting Liverpool do all the work and being happy just to kind of give away possession. They've done that a lot this season, Tottenham. You've seen it's like when he was manager of Southampton. The manager isn't afraid to just give the other team the possession. I think there's something daft like 35% against in one of the away games. It might be against Arsenal even, and then they try and hit on the break, and with Kane, they've got the man who can finish and nick a goal. So, but yeah, if forced on the outrights, I'll go for the draw. But Kane to score, anytime is mine.
Okay, just summarise your thoughts for us, Derek.
Tottenham at 100-30 to win.
Okay, moving on to the second game, we're going to look at Arsenal against Leicester. Arsenal are 100-30 on. The draw is 4-1. Leicester are 10-1. Arsenal sixth in the league against bottom of the table. Leicester obviously lost 2-1 at Spurs at the weekend, but had won 5 games on the bounce before that and 7 straight wins at home in all competitions for Arsenal. Still, Leicester, it's not been an easy week for Leicester. Nigel Pearson's situation, is he sacked? Has he not been sacked?
Brilliant.
And the fact that they are bottom of the league and got beat by Palace, is it a case just to lump on Arsenal here?
Well, I can never do that. I've been chinned so many times, and you know, and Derek will probably say the same thing. I just can't. I can never back Arsenal on the outrights at a price like this, even against the bottom team in the division. Because what Leicester, I imagine, will go and do, and they'll have a bit of siege mentality about them this week as well, they'll go and shut up shop. and you know, and try and get away with a draw or a 0-0, you know, or maybe try and nick a goal on the break. They haven't had that much success in doing that, admittedly, over the course of the season. But you know, you look at their away performance at lesser teams, and they've done it. They went to Tottenham and won 2-1 in the FA Cup, of course. So, you know, they managed it there. And you know, Arsenal do. If they're not quite at it, then they do tend to struggle to break teams down early. The problem is they probably are going to be at it because of the defeat to Tottenham. But I'm going to give Leicester the chance. I'm probably being foolish here, but I'm going to give Leicester the benefit of the doubt and go for the and look at the half-time draw, full-time Arsenal, trusting that they can keep it tight. Anyone who doesn't quite fancy that but likes the idea, then the draw at 30 minutes might be another way of looking at it. You know, Leicester just to keep, you know, get everyone behind the ball. The problem is Arsenal are the most offensive home team in the division. Nigel Pearson's the most offensive manager in the division, isn't he, at the minute? Unbelievable, that, wasn't it? What was going on? Every so often he just loses the plot, doesn't he?
And yet he comes across in his interviews as a measured guy, doesn't he? Yeah, but well, he, you know, when Alan Pardew is a peacemaker on a touchline, he's coming to something, isn't
he? Yeah. I think Ron. I'm sure he rates him as his best ever captain at a football club. Yeah, by the way, he rates Brian Robson as his best ever player. So he rates him higher than Brian Robson as a captain. Right. And you can kind of see why, can't you? Because he wouldn't be taking any prisoners, would he?
No.
I don't know. I'd love to know what happened on the touchline there, because they had a smile on the face for a lot of it.
Well, he said it was... Well, I think the impression is that it was a bit of fun. It was.
It didn't look like fun near the end, though, did it? When he was...
Everyone has a player fight every now and again, don't they?
But yeah, so I'll like I say, for the less intrepid, draw at 30 minutes. For the more intrepid, half-time draw, full-time. Arsenal, I'll go for there. The 30 minute betting, the draw is priced up at just below even money at 17-20. So that might not be everyone's cup of tea there.
Okay, Derek.
Well, a big game for Arsenal, isn't it? After what happened on Saturday against Tottenham, I mean, victory aid, he'd get a stranglehold on a top four slot, piercing the stranglehold on everything else. It's a big game for Leicester as well, because their next four fixtures come under the heading "we'll probably lose," as do the other 10. I think that performance from Leicester at the weekend was catastrophic. Not the performance, but the result. I mean, they must have looked it down and thought 3 points here at home to Palace, and you know, our season begins there. They got nothing out of it. They got a manager in trouble, losing the plot by the looks of it. I just honestly cannot see them getting anything here. And I think Arsenal -1, so they go win by 2 goals at 8-11, as near as damn it to evens. That's the way to play. I think that's a certainty.
They've got 17 points so far from the 24 games. They've only got another 14 games left, and they have to get another 20 points at least.
Yeah.
It's
not going to happen, is it? There's no, you know, this is the time when you start looking at averaging out the points that they've got so far, and working out who is definitely going down. And you know, they look to be in all sorts of bother, don't they?
Yeah, they're going down.
Yeah.
And if you look at Arsenal's recent results at the Emirates as well,
they've been very strong.
Yeah, they've been winning easily against teams that are obviously better than Leicester. Yeah. They beat Villa 5-0, they beat Stoke 3-0, they beat Hull 2-0. They've won quite a few games to nil at home, actually. They beat Southampton 1-0, they beat Dortmund 2-0 in the Champions League not too long ago as well. I think it's 10-11 for Arsenal to win to nil.
Yeah, oh,
no, 11-10, in fact.
11-10.
That's a massive price, isn't it?
Yeah, it does look good, doesn't it?
Okay, best bets there. Both.
I'm changing mine. I'm going to go for 11-0. 11-10.
And I'll go for the 30-minute draw at 17-20.
Right.
Half-time draw, full-time Arsenal for more adventurous people. More adventurous than me, anyway.
Right. Sunderland against...
Everyone.
Sunderland against QPR is where we go next. Sunderland 14th in the table against 19th place QPR. Sunderland 19-20, the draw 9-4. QPR 16-5, 4 without defeat in all competitions for Sunderland. And a decent enough 1-1 draw with Swansea at the weekend. Jermaine Defoe scoring goals from them as well. They look like they're doing okay at the moment. Sunderland, QPR however, 1-0 defeat to Southampton made it 5 straight defeats in all competitions. 12 straight defeats on the road as well in the Premier League. So QPR in all sorts of trouble. They now don't have a manager either. Sunderland, good bet here?
Well, you'd say they are, but it's Sunderland they're odds on, and that worries you, doesn't it, right away? You know, they've only won 2 home games out of 12. But they are playing a lot better than they, you know, they could have easily beaten Swansea at Swansea at the weekend, as I thought they might do. And you, what can you say about QPR? It's just, it's going from bad to worse. You know, they weren't that bad at the weekend in that defeat by Southampton. It was only a last gasp winner. But they've lost the top scorer. You can't see them scoring without him. Away from home, they're just diabolical. They've got no pace, even less now with Austin out. I'm going to have to bite the bullet here and go for Sunderland. They're odds on. I don't think I've said that all season.
I don't think you've ever said that before, have you?
No, I know. I just can't say anything else.
I don't think many people have ever said that, would they?
No. I mean, the thing about it, you may well get a slightly better price than that, Derek, when you get close to the game. They often change the price, enhance them a little bit, don't they? A little bit close to the game. I mean, if there were even money, you often say this, psychologically, it'd make a massive difference, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
If you got even money about Sunderland, then I think you'd be willing to back them. There's just something a bit wrong about backing them, even if it's slight odds on.
Well, I really, this is a game that falls into my 3-1 away from home category. I should be going for QPR without question. Mm. But I can't. I just can't. How can you? When you know 5-1, 6-1, 7-1, maybe that kind of mark away from you'd give it. You'd have a chance on them. But 11 straight defeats, 6 goals at home, 6 goals on the road. How can I go for them at 7-2?
No, it's tricky. Yeah, and you know the stats on how many shots they have away from home. They're the second worst team in the division at shots on goal as well. And they concede too many. If Defoe wasn't in the team, I think I'd go for QPR just on the price play. But the fact that he's come back into this team and looks, you know, he looks like what he did when he went away from English football. And his post-match interviews have improved markedly. See him talking after the game at the weekend. He was like describing what happened, how he made the run. He's like he's been away for a bit. He's been in the States, and suddenly he's realised how to talk. Yeah. On camera, it's brilliant.
You get Lee over there.
He's only 6-5 to score at any time, though. So I think Sunderland are really confident. I think Poyet, his mood is reflected in his team, and he's so up and down. You know, when they're having a bad run, he looks like he could just cave in mentally at any time, doesn't he? But when they're in a good run, he's just absolutely buoyant. So I think they'll go out there and be really confident in front of a decent home team, home crowd. I'm going to go for the headline offer here. Defoe to score and Sunderland to win it 3-1. Can see that happening.
Yep, seen worse headline offers. You mentioned that you don't really ever want to back Sunderland at odds on.
I don't want to back Sunderland ever. Really.
If you flip it around, QPR haven't won an away game all season. Yeah, yeah. You're getting nearly even money about a team to beat them.
The longer a run goes on, Mark, the closer it is to ending.
Well, yeah, it's what we said about Aston Villa. You know, I said I picked Aston Villa, both teams to score. Yeah. In the
7-5. That was when that went in, I thought that's a great bet.
Yeah, it wasn't really, other than the fact, the only reason I could go for it was the fact that, you know, it's got to end soon. They're not that bad a team to put that run. But are QPR that bad a team, though? Maybe they are.
Well, I mean, but you could say, if you make an argument for QPR, you could say, well, the manager, it was a topsy-turvy week last week. They did play all right against Southampton, were a little bit unlucky. And then suddenly, you know, they've had a full week of training with the new system. Might have a manager in place by then, blah blah blah. I wouldn't be altogether surprised if they did win it, but given everything that we know and the way Defoe's playing at the moment and the confidence that's flowing through Sunderland, I think they will win it.
Moving on to the final game on Tuesday evening, we finish the night with Hull City against Aston Villa.
Oh, have you got a ticket?
I don't know how they picked Liverpool-Tottenham as a TV game on Tuesday night. There's so much competition. You know, they had all the arrows, didn't they, in the crowd for the Villa. There'll be arrows all over the place in this one.
Right, Hull City are 13-10. The draw is 2-1. Aston Villa are 12-5.
Derek can go first.
No. I'll go third. Oh dear me! What can you? It's just I've never seen a game that's more likely to finish 0-0, and so it'll probably end up 5-4.
I
think 7-1. One of the games of the weekend was 7-1 to finish 0-0, and that was the shortest I'd seen. It wasn't Everton Liverpool. It was another one. And obviously, that got chinned.
I think it was Burnley West Brom, maybe.
I think it was. I'm just going to go for no goal scorer in this game, because I just cannot see. I can't see anybody scoring.
13-2 for no goal scorer.
Yeah, the shortest it's been, but you know, it's rightly so.
See, I'm going the other way here. I look at the prices for the for unders and the goals, and it just makes me want to go for the other side of it. Under 2.5 is 1-2. So I'm going over 2.5 at 6-4. I just don't think you see, you know, if you get a price, I think if you get over 2.5 at 6-4, you've got to take it personally. And I know all the stats go against what I'm saying, but, you know, these two teams have got to start taking the games by the scruff of the neck sooner or later. Although they're in the bottom three, obviously had a really good result at the weekend, almost came away with all 3 points. You know, Villa are so close to the drop zone still on 22 points. I'm saying what you normally say, Derek, really. You know, when you see, just out of being bloody minded, I'm going for over 2.5 just because it's 6-4.
Yeah,
it's an easy bet to land, isn't it? You know, if an early goal goes in, you know, you're pretty much guaranteed, I reckon. So, going against the grain a little bit with all the stats, and the stats are compelling. You know, Hull have scored 11 goals away from home, and they've only scored 10 at home. Villa, of course, have scored 4 goals away from home. But if they're going to score them anywhere, it'll be at Hull, surely. I'm not convinced myself,
not
but
so sure.
It's just a pure price play.
Yeah,
one of those where if it lands, you go, yeah, there you go. If it doesn't, you go, yeah, well, I was just chancing my arm.
Yeah. Was it not a sign that Hull are going back the right direction against City at the weekend, though?
Yeah, they were better, but then they didn't have to make the game, did they? You can sit back and defend and be organised. Making the game is more difficult, I think. I think that's the problem that they've got. And if they do open up, then, you know, they could be in trouble. I mean, you know, they couldn't, at home, over 2.5 landed in the last game. They lost 3-0 to Newcastle. Haven't been the highest scorers away from home. And, you know, Villa, over 2.5 landed in their game as well. They lost 5-0 to Arsenal. So it's just the nils on either side that is the worry, admittedly.
Right. All right. Well, we'll move on from that then. Chelsea against Everton is the first game we're going to look at on Wednesday evening. It's the televised game, an 8 o'clock kickoff. Chelsea are at 1-3. The draw is 19-5. Everton are 9-1. Chelsea now very comfortable at the top of the league. 7 points clear. Beat Villa 2-1 at the weekend. Take on Everton, who've only had one win since mid-December. Only 2 wins in their last 15 matches, in fact. And I suppose it has been better in recent weeks, but you don't want to be playing Chelsea if you're out of form, Myers, do you?
No, that's true. And I think that you have to be able to outscore Chelsea. It sounds an obvious thing to say, but you know they very rarely score less than 2 goals at home. They did against City, but they seem to approach that City game like it was an away game, really. So I think you know that's different. They invariably score 2. Everton have been struggling to score goals. Didn't have the first shot on target came in the 87th minute against Liverpool. They can't sit back and do that against Chelsea. If they sit back and try and soak it up against Chelsea and hit them on the break, they simply won't score enough goals. So I think, you know, 1-3 is very short, because if Everton suddenly find some form and find whatever it was they had last year that they haven't got this year, the 9-1 is a huge price and gives you a lot of insurance, doesn't it? It means you can go for a plus one bet or a draw no bet. Plus one for Everton is 9-4. Plus two is 8-11. So you can even have them losing by a single goal at 8-11. And that's probably, that could happen. That could easily happen here. I just think Chelsea are a bit too good, though, to be, I think Everton would have to be in top form, and we haven't seen Everton in top form very much recently. So I'm just going to go with Chelsea to win the game 2-0. I mean, I think if you play this every single game, you're gonna end out in profit. 11-2 for Chelsea to win 2-0. Might take a while to break Everton down if they go ahead with the similar system they had against Liverpool, but I think Chelsea will do it eventually. Again, you know, we mentioned Hazard to score at the weekend. I'd play him again. You know, 17-20, but he's in such good scoring form, and a lot of his goals come at home as well. Even put Hazard Hazard to score and Chelsea to win in the scorecast and do it that way. But happy with Chelsea to win it and relatively comfortably in the end.
Yeah, you mentioned 2-0. I'm just looking at the Hill's correct score groupings. Chelsea to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, 6-4.
That's nice, isn't it?
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just I can't, because Chelsea, you know, more often than not, once they get 2-0 up, it's game over for
very,
them.
Very rare that they push it, isn't it?
And Everton don't get pasted by anybody. I'm going to go for that. It's you know, I've seen Everton a lot recently, and I wish I hadn't. I mean, I thought they were really poor against Liverpool at the weekend.
Lucky so unadventurous, weren't they?
Yeah, it was a shocker, real shocker by them. I just can't, even at 9-1, I couldn't touch them. That grouping for me, 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 for Chelsea, 6-4.
Yeah, the home results this season, the 1-1 draw with Man City, of course, we could probably take that as a separate case. They beat Newcastle 2-0, beat West Ham 2-0, Hull 2-0, Tottenham, they beat them 3-0, 2-0 against West Brom, 2-1 against QPR, 2-0 against Arsenal, 3-0 against Villa, 4-2 Swansea, 2-0 Leicester. There's only three of those other than the City game that wouldn't have landed.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably take out the 1-0 in a sense, couldn't you? And put 2-0 and 2-1. But yeah, I think they'll get the job done. It's interesting, Derek, isn't it, that Martinez seems to have gone back to basics here and addressed the defensive problems, and they have been better defensively. But it just seems to have completely weakened them at the other end.
Well, and also they're relying so much on Lukaku, who's just not at it at the moment. Yeah. You know, he's not doing anything. So yeah, you just can't see Everton scoring.
Yeah, former Chelsea player, of course. Yeah, he might just lift his game. If you think they can get a goal, he's 3-1 to score any time against his former club. Mug bet, but quite a big price for any time goal scorer for your man up front.
Yeah. If you fancy him to score and inspire Everton to a win, the headline offer is 16-1 for anybody who likes some a big price.
Very surprised, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a big price though.
Yeah, for a reason, I think.
Yeah. Have we seen any team news about Chelsea, by the way? I mean, Drogba's part of the headline offer there.
He's on the bench, wasn't he? I mean, Remy came on, didn't he? Who knows? He'll pick one of the two, won't he? If, you know, Costa's still out, obviously. So, I think it's one where you've got to wait and see what he does. It'll either be Drogba or I don't think he'll play both of them together. But yeah, whichever way around, they'll probably change it. If it's Remy and the team news comes out, they'll probably change the headline off around anyway.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, Chelsea's bandwagon to roll on then. Their nearest pursuers are Man City. They're away at Stoke. Stoke are 9-2. The draw 5-2. Man City are 7-10. Stoke in good nick, actually. They've only got one defeat in their last nine games. A 1-1 draw with Newcastle, the latest of their results. And they're relatively solid at home, as we know. Man City, have the wheels come off Man City recently? Because they've only won one. They haven't won in the last four games. Mm. They did win a friendly, but that doesn't matter, does it? And
well, that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, and they needed a last-minute equaliser against Hull to even get anything out of that game. Start with you, Derek. What's going on with City at the minute?
I don't know. I was still tipping them a couple of weeks ago to win the league. It doesn't look like they're going to be doing that now after what happened at the weekend. That's an absolute shocker because Hull are there to be pulverised, and they stole a 1-1 win. A 1-1 draw, sorry. I don't know. I can't put my finger on what's gone wrong. Aguero's goals have dried up. Toure being out, of course, you know, that's probably the main thing. He won't be back in time for this game, obviously. But come on, you've got to fancy them just under evens to win at Stoke, haven't you? I thought Stoke were, I've been saying for most of the season that the bookies always underestimate Stoke, but I watched them at Newcastle and there wasn't much there, was there? With Bojan out, there wasn't much flair there.
That's just key, really, isn't it? The Bojan out now.
I was really disappointed in Stoke against Newcastle. And I think City, they've got to, you know, they can't afford another poor result. They've got to go out, you know, another poor result here in the title has gone before February's halfway through. I think City will get a job done here. I think they're a decent price here, City.
Okay, what do you think, Lee?
I'm not quite as confident as Derek. I mean, Stoke went to City and won, literally like shut up shop and nicked a goal. I wonder if they'll do the same thing here. And try and play away tactics at home and let City have the ball. If they do that, they've obviously got the formula for keeping City at bay. I agree with Derek, though. I mean, I thought this a lot about Stoke. I right before the start of the season, I tipped them to be to win the handicap table. Which, you know, they might. I think Southampton will win that now. But you know, I think they're going to have a good second half of the season. The problem is that they look all right, but they haven't got that finishing touch to everything. You know, the amount of chances they create is good, but the amount of goals they score is pretty low. But I do think they'll remember what happened at City, and I think they might try to replicate those tactics and see what they can get away with. Because of that, I think it's going to be quite a low-scoring game. The goals betting, under 2.5 goals is 10-11. So it's a pick-em between the overs and the unders. Under 1.5 is 11-4. I could play that as well, to be honest with you. I think that's a little big for a City team who aren't quite firing. Did you see Aguero's shot that hit the bar, though? You see that? He flicked it, the ball got chipped over to the far post. He's controlled it with one foot and then hit it with the other one and just skimmed the bar. So I mean, you know, if he gets going, then he could win this. I think he's going to give someone an absolute pacing at some point, Sergio Aguero, on his own. But it might not quite come here. Obviously, Stoke physical, you know, good unit. I like the way they do listen to the manager. They're not very, they haven't got much creativity, but they obviously, you know their jobs and know them well. So I'll go for a under 1.5 goals at 11-4. As my main bet there. Maybe a 1-0 win either way. I'm half tempted to go for Stoke, but can't see City not winning another game.
Yeah.
They just don't seem to have recovered from that trip. They went away for warm weather training. It seems to have done them more harm than good. They don't seem to have ever picked up, have they, from the loss in the Cup, from the loss to Borough. They haven't picked up since then, really, I don't think. Well, against Chelsea, but...
Coincides with Yaya Toure obviously going in. Fernando and Fernandinho don't work together for me.
They need someone with a less similar name, I think, to play alongside them.
Yeah.
Did you see the stats on Match of the Day over the weekend? They've not won a game without him, have they, this season, Toure? It's unbelievable how much of a difference he makes. If you'd have seen him playing for the Ivory Coast last night, you'd have wondered if he's ever played a top-flight match in his life.
Dear me.
Final of the Ivory Coast did nothing for 120 minutes. Yeah. It was terrible. And he looked like a club player. Honestly, I mean, it's unbelievable how bad they looked. They went 2-0 down in the penalty shootout. Boney hit the bar and Tello just missed the goal completely, hit it wide. So they've gone 2-0 down straight away and somehow they won the penalty shootout to win the whole thing. But yeah, he looked poor, really poor.
His penalty was all right, though.
Yeah, his penalty was great. After the first two misses, the rest of them were quite good. Yeah, and Derek's right, they definitely won't play. It's already been announced that they won't play in this game, Boney or Toure. So, yeah. Low scoring Stoke to give them more problems, I expect.
Okay, fair enough. Moving on once again, Man United against Burnley is where we'll go next. Man United are currently 130 on. The draw is 4-1. Burnley are 10-1. It's 4th against 17th in the league. Man United disappointing against West Ham, and Big Sam called them, what do you call them, a long ball team?
Yeah, brilliant. He loved that, didn't he?
Yeah,
tremendous.
Yeah.
Is that the first time you've ever laughed at a Sam Allardyce joke, Derek?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, Van Gaal wants more money in the transfer window for John Fashanu and Mick Harford. they were terrible, weren't they? But
how did they get a draw out of that?
Well, nothing was as terrible as their price to win that game. I thought they were shockingly priced for that. Turning into an absolute disaster. They can't even string one pass together now, United.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't seem to know what they're doing, do they?
So many. All the stars, but no stardust. That's United too, in a nutshell. But they've got to beat Burnley, haven't they?
Hmm.
I mean, you know, I tell you, the knives will really be out for them flat face if they don't beat Burnley. It's just, but can you back United at long odds on? That's the thing. Oh, dear, what a nightmare. 3-10. I'm going to go for United. You know what I think is? I think if United get a goal early and get a bit of, get a bit of a comfort zone, they could pace the side. So I'm going to take a chance that it's this time. I'm going to go for Man United -2 at 21-10.
Yeah. That's not a bad. It's quite a nice bet that. Yeah, because they are. I think they're a different team at home to the one that they are away from home. I think they look abject away from home. They look like they haven't got a clue how to play. We've seen it so many times, but at home it's different. You know, that we've seen them put goals. I mean, this is one of my favourite bets with United, is this over 1.5 first half goals. I mean, over 1.5 first half goals in a match is 6-4, which gives you plenty of security, because even if Burnley happen to score one, which is unlikely, but then you can also go for the first half Man United over 1.5 first half Manchester United goals 11-5. I think that's a tremendous bet. You know, I did all these stats before they played Leicester, and it came off then. They scored 3 in the first half against Leicester. Obviously, they put the same bet up against Cambridge. They did the same then, didn't they? They scored over 1.5 first half goals against Newcastle. They've done it against Liverpool. They've done it time and time again this season. It's something that Ferguson had them doing over and over again when he was in charge. Did it against Hull as well. They did it against QPR when they won 4-0. Also scored 2 first half goals against West Ham. It's a tried and tested. It shouldn't be 11-5. If you really want to go brave, then you could go 15 minutes, Man United to be leading, 3-1. It's 5-4 for them to be leading at 30 minutes, but I'm happy to play that over 1.5 goals for Man United in the first half at 11-5. Don't be worried. They usually start pretty slow, actually. It didn't look like they were going to score three goals in the first half against Leicester, but they did. And similarly, it didn't look like they were going to score the goals against Cambridge in the first half, but they got there in the end. I think it's a wrong price given the stats.
Yeah, if you look at just squeeze a bit out of just backing Man United, could you not do the double result on that basis? That they should be in front of half time, they probably will win the game. Yep. 7-10.
Yeah, I like my bet better though.
Yeah, it sounded better, didn't it?
Yeah, 11. I always prefer 11-5 than 7-10.
Yeah, but it's less risk bet, isn't it?
Not given the stats,
it could be 1-0 up at half time.
Could be, but more often than not, they're not.
Yeah, but
I'm willing to risk it. They'll get the job done. They are a good attacking team at home, and I think I think Burnley are a little bit too open as well these days. I think if it was Burnley at the start of the season, that might have happened. But you know, you look at their away form. Conceded 2 first half goals to Sunderland. They conceded 2 first half goals to Newcastle. 2 first half goals to City. 2 first half goals to Tottenham. I could go on, but I think I've proved the point now.
Yeah. All right, you don't need to get shirty about it. God.
I'm not getting shirty.
I just want to mention Danny Ings as well, because obviously a lot of speculation about him in the transfer window. His manager said his head was turned. Well, he must have turned it back this week, because he did score at the weekend. He's 13-5 to score any time. If Burnley are going to get a goal, which is a question I know, but it's likely to be him involved, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, if anyone wants a bet on that, then he's the obvious one to do it, isn't he?
I just wanted to mention it. Yeah,
yeah. There's no one else who you'd really look. I mean, I know Arfield's had a little purple patch, but you know, will he? I mean, again, though, you could say that someone like Scott Arfield, you know, for a long range shot, might be the best effort, 6-1 any time. But I think probably, you know, I think Man United might win it 2-0 as well, to be honest.
Hmm. Okay, so both leaning towards Man United then.
Yep.
Yeah, -2 for me. Yeah.
Okay, Southampton against West Ham is the name.
I can't wait to hear this from Derek.
Well, it's West Ham, isn't it? You know what I'm going to say. It's West Ham 4-1. I mean, it was a good performance by them against Man United. And even though I watched them at Anfield in their previous away performance, and they were dismal, absolutely dismal at Liverpool, got beat 2-0. They've got to go to Southampton thinking they've got a chance of winning. And it's also, you know, in a funny way, it still gives them a chance of... I mean, how far would they be behind Southampton if they were to win this game? 5 points behind they'd be. And, you know, still in with the squeak of that top four, but no one believes they'll get it. But it still give them a chance. And I think the performance against United will have given them a real shot in the arm. I still can't have Southampton. I'm still looking at the league table in disbelief because... I've seen them all the time, and I keep reading, you know, Southampton aren't going to go away. You know, they've proved it. They're there after 24 games. They where they deserve to be. But I've seen them a zillion times this season, and I'm yet to be impressed by them. Seriously, I just don't know. I don't know how they are where they are, and I'm pretty sure they won't be where they are come May. And I 4-1 West Ham, who I don't think... I think West Ham are as good as Southampton, to be honest. Seriously, I'm no big fan of West Ham. But from what I've seen of them this season, they're as good as Saints. And 4-1, hyperboles fail me.
Are you as boisterous with your opinion, Lee?
No, I've kind of... I was squarely in the same camp as Derek for a while, but I've got Southampton wrong so many times that I just don't really know what to do with them. But then you look at the home form, and it has been really inconsistent. Not you know, just reading down the results, they started with a 0-0 draw against West Brom. Then they beat Newcastle 4-0, which is a great result. Beat QPR 2-1 at home. But, you know, from memory, that wasn't the easiest in the world. It wasn't the easiest game in the world. And given what QPR have turned into, should have done better. Then they stick 8 past Sunderland, beat Stoke 1-0, Leicester 2-0, lose 3-0 to City. Then they lost to Man United, beat Everton, drew with Chelsea, beat Arsenal, lost to Swansea. I mean, you know, the results preceding the Swansea game were fine. And I think I'm going to carry on with what I said before the QPR game. I think they'll carry on with just trying to keep it tight, limiting West Ham's chances and trying to nick a goal. I went for Southampton to win under 2.5 at the weekend against QPR, and I think the same might happen here. I agree with Derek that West Ham have got lots up front, but they don't really show it away from home enough for me. only beat Bristol City 1-0. Haven't won a Premier League away game now since beating West Brom at the start of December. And they've been to Sunderland, who are a worse team than Southampton. They've been to Swansea and they've been to Everton, who are all three, I think, worse teams than Southampton, and they haven't won any of those. So, yeah, Southampton to win an under 2.5 goals. And I just play the goals. If you don't want to put an outright in it, I just play unders on the goals, because I think Southampton, a bit like Liverpool, if they want it to be low scoring, it will be low scoring. I think they're a controlling team. So 4-5 for under 2.5 goals.
Okay, so slightly differing opinions there then, really.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to Crystal Palace against Newcastle. Big day for Alan Pardew, I'm sure you'll agree. 7-5 for Palace. The draw is 21-10 Newcastle. Also 21-10 Newcastle in good nick. They've won four of the five games since Pardew took over, and they beat Leicester at the weekend. Newcastle, a 1-1 draw with Stoke on the back of a 3-0 win at Hull. They're not doing too bad under John Carver either, really. It's quite a tricky one to call. Which way would you go, Lee?
I want to see a fight in the centre circle between John Carver and Alan Pardew. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Just decide it like that. They're both feisty. Both love a little ruck. That'd be fantastic, I think. I've been impressed by Palace. I thought it's terrible, isn't it, Derek? Because that was one of my main tips. I thought Palace would go down this season, and I've been saying it all season. When that was from when Pulis was in charge, right through obviously when Warnock took over, I was even more confident. And I think you could just rip up your slip now. Because the way Pardew has gone in there and almost transformed them, plus the signings, I think the signings are fantastic. Suddenly they're on 26 points, you know, another three wins with a couple of draws thrown in, and they're safe, aren't they? Mm. And I think they'll build on it for next season. Again, another team I find very hard to call, Newcastle. I'm struggling with this one a little bit. I think I'd have to go for Palace at 7-5. But it's the shortest price of the three.
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem, isn't it? It's like, I think Palace will win it, but I'm not quite sure if I like the price enough. I think it's a struggle because, you know, they did lose to Everton at home. They might be better set up away from home, Palace, but I'll just side with Palace. But I'm not massively sure on it.
No, it's a tough one to call. It's no, you know, you can make a case for all three outcomes. I mean, the price for the draw and the price for the Newcastle win are exactly the same. And in my eyes, a draw is more likely than a Newcastle win. Mm. Palace are too short, a 7-5. I take your point. They're capable of winning games now, Palace, aren't they? You know, but the draw's screaming out to me. I don't think I've picked a draw all week on this midweek batch of matches, so I'll go for one here.
Oh, do you know what bet I would like to have, just as a bit of fun? And both Amiobi brothers to score at any time. That'd be lovely. Sammy to score and Shola to score for opposite sides.
Yeah.
It's not available at the minute, unfortunately. You've got you can have Sonogo and Shola Amiobi to score any time at 30.
He's not his brother, is he?
No, he's not. I don't think he's anyone's brother. If he did have a brother, hopefully he'd be better than he is, because he's rubbish, isn't he? Yaya Sonogo.
He did score the other week.
Yeah, he did score the other week. I'm being flippant.
The draw looks nailed on, I think.
Yeah, 21-10. Yeah.
No, not nothing.
He'll have them up for this though, Pardew, won't he? I'm becoming quite a big fan of Alan Pardew. I don't know why.
After everything that's happened to Alan Pardew at Newcastle, this is his absolute cup final. The signings have been pretty shrewd. They're playing all right football. I don't mind Palace to win this.
Yeah, 7-5. It's just the price that puts me off.
Bit short, though, aren't they? I know what you mean. If there is going to be a winner, it's more likely to be Palace, but 7-5.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too skinny, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But I'll go for it anyway.
Right, let's finish off with West Brom against Swansea. West Brom 6-4, the draw. 2-1, Swansea are 21-10. West Brom 15th, Swansea 9th. I didn't really know which way to approach this, so yeah. This is why I left it to last.
I'm going to listen to Derek and then copy.
Well, I was open, because this is a game no one has got a clue on. I mean, I'm looking at I'm looking at Swansea. How on earth are they 9th?
I know.
It's just beyond belief, isn't it?
I've got no idea.
They've only won three games away from home, 11 goals scored in what, 11 games away from home. They never look as though they're going to score a bagful, but they look the more likely winners of this game than West Brom, who you know, looked down. Well, fair credit to them at the weekend, came back well, 2-0 down against Burnley, but nothing I've seen from West Brom makes me think they're worth a bet here at 6-4. You know, I'd rather Palace is similarly priced to beat Newcastle. I'd rather be on that than West Brom to beat Swansea, to be honest. All in all, I ain't got a clue. The score for me.
Yeah, the price is 6-4 is terrible, isn't it?
It's just
I think they'll win it as well. I mean, I think, you know, they lost 3-0 to Tottenham in the last home game, but they gave that a right go. The keeper was brilliant. Lloris was just sensational that day. Just saved everything that they had. And I think they've got goal scorers in the team. They usually score at home, West Brom, to be fair. Swansea, I think, are still without Sigurdsson. Obviously, Boney's not there, so they're still lacking those goals. We said it before that, you know, that the you know, that was, I think it was 70% of their goals before the Southampton game. You know, Shelby's always worth a look. You know, if he's playing in a forward role, he scored that goal in the last away game against Southampton. 12-5 to score any time, though, so it's not the best price in the world, given the amount of goals that he actually does score. I think I'm just gonna go for a goals bet here. I think both teams will score. I think West Brom might win it 2-1, but on the prices, I'm not too keen. Over 2.5 goals, though, Derek, is 13-10. And I see no reason why that wouldn't land, personally. Mm. I think Swansea can get one. I think West Brom have got goals in them. So I'm quite happy to play that. Swansea have conceded a lot of away goals before that Southampton game. And if Southampton had a slightly better final ball, they would have conceded there as well. So I think that's a big price, 13-10 for three or more goals in the game.
I wouldn't be getting too worked up. 14 goals at home for West Brom, just over one a game. 15 away for... Is it 15 away for Swansea? Did I get that one wrong, Swansea? 17 away, yeah. Yeah, maybe. I'll give you half a squeak on that one.
Thanks.
I suppose we should leave that there, really.
Two Lulus to finish up with there, weren't they? Jesus, Palace, Newcastle and West Brom, Swansea.
You don't have to pick a nap midweek. That's a good thing.
Oh, thank God for that. But it would be West Ham anyway. At Southampton. Yeah. You're lucky because that will win.
Maybe we should pick one and just not tell Dave Kellner, and then we'll
add it
without him knowing.
What would you go for then if you were going to pick one, Lee? Shall I pick one for DK?
No, we're not doing
it's
that.
So ridiculous.
It's not fair.
Well, if I was picking one for myself, it'd be Arsenal to win 2-0 against Leicester.
Right. But okay.
What price is that? 11-10? Did you?
Yeah, yeah, it was nice. Yeah, wasn't it? Yeah, it was decent, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah. Man United score over 1.5 first half goals, 11-5.
Okay, let's have it, and I'll have West Ham, Southampton 4-1. Let's have the naps.
All right, okay.
Done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you can break it to DK that you've picked 11-10.
Yeah.
What was it?
Where is he? Is he
broadcasting to the entire nation of William Hill Shops.
Yeah.
Which is probably as big an audience as I'll ever get.
Right, well, anyway, it's been a pleasure speaking to you both. Good luck and enjoy this week's football.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, Derek. Thanks. Cheers,
William Matt. Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.